Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, any frequent listeners to Circles of Change know one of my starting mantras, and that is we have to focus on the F's to get an A when we're in transition, whether that be individuals or organizations. And those F's, of course, are your faith, your family, your friends, your fitness, your finances, your food, and your focus on others. So today, what a pleasure to focus on that first F, that being faith, through the wisdom, experiences, and true beliefs of my guest, Larry Julian. Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
I am terrific. And how are you today?
You know, he couldn't be beat. It's another hot, hot, sunny day in Tucson, so we carry forward. Let me introduce Larry. He is a best-selling author, speaker, and executive coach with more than two decades of experience helping CEOs, entrepreneurs, and small business owners successfully lead with their faith and their values. He's also the author of nationally acclaimed God is My Coach. Boy, would that be a great one to have. A Business Leader's Guide to Finding Clarity in an Uncertain World. Also the book God is My Success, Transferring Adversity into Your Destiny. Originally released in 2001, we're now going to talk about his second edition of the book God is My CEO, Following God's Principles in a Bottom Line World. It's here in this now new form. In other words, how to integrate your faith in today's business environment, in particular when navigating the top-of-line struggles from bottom-line pressures. Larry shows that leading by spiritual principles isn't about feeling good, although we will feel good. It's also about building morale, increasing productivity, fostering loyalty, and really, so very important, retaining our employees. Again, Larry, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you. It's great to be on your program.
You bet. Well, you first published this book in 2001, of course, which meant
yes.
It had been in the works for a few years, I'm sure, before it actually debuted. Probably right smack in the conundrum that then threw our world upside down with 9/11. And my question would be, certainly, the journey it's gone through then over this period of time, but then also, why now? Why have you released it again?
Sure. Well, you're absolutely right. When the book came out in 2000, shortly right after 2000, a lot of things happened between now and then. You know, and for starters, you had 9/11, you had a financial crisis, and you've had this seemingly consistent uncertainty.
Yes.
And so, as far as the why now, I guess there are two driving forces. One is that it's a tougher world now, and everyone across the board are dealing with some level of complexity, uncertainty, ambiguity, and change that it's constantly happening. So more than ever, people are confused or distracted on what's going on and need a sense of purpose and direction. But the other piece is, I have this desire to teach the next generation leader.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's an opportunity, and I also believe an obligation to teach the next generation leader about what is true leadership, especially as it relates to business, which
mm-hmm.
is such a, you know, an important ground of which we interact and work 60% of our lives.
You know, the other thing I would add, because of the subtitle of your book, God is My CEO, Following God's Principles in a Bottom Line World, wouldn't you also say over these 10 years that this penchant for being driven for quarter over quarter bottom line results as driven by the financial markets, has also permeated into businesses that it wouldn't necessarily have been in prior to these dates. And not that that isn't the right perhaps to watch for shareholder value and so on and so forth, but in many sectors it's driven a short-term mentality and truly crazy things that happen that leaders fall into traps and do.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. For me, that revelation came ironically, it came when the last book that came out, This God is My Coach, I wrote that book because I saw how leaders were, had difficulty moving into the future with such uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of that is I remember giving a program in New Canaan, Connecticut, a very wealthy suburb of New York City. that was primarily for about 70% financial executives that worked on Wall Street. And I remember passing this little half sheet of paper. This was literally 2 days after the crash. And I just, on that piece of paper, I wrote down two questions. How are you feeling about this recent crash, and what are you going to do about it? And I was amazed at the level of angst and anxiety and some of the craziness of how they were responding. And it was a very telling moment, because really since then, and really from 2009 to the present, I think that you're right. I think that we, if anything, it's been more of a survival of the fittest mentality, and that it drives people to do more of focusing more on profits than purpose, and it makes it even more challenging.
It does.
I do believe you're right.
I was inside an organization where that it is absolutely iconic, and Wall Street supports them, and so they should. Their products are fabulous, a global-based company. But this drive for quarter-over-quarter results came to a point in time where one of the divisions was looking like they weren't going to make the numbers, and they went and laid off a group of people only to rehire them 8 months later.
Right.
To play the numbers. And so this book that you've written, the collection of wisdom from your own experiences being a coach and a consultant, and also embedding in it stories from very prominent leaders who have not wavered from the principles of doing things right, is truly a gift, and I commend you for it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Because we know, I mean, you even call them, there's leadership landmines out there. And so how do we not step on them, or how do we avoid them, or how do we defuse them, right?
Yes, and, you know, the term, you know, with leadership landmines, one of the revelations over the past 20-plus years, but even particularly over the last 5 years, I put on a small group. It's called the Leadership Roundtable, and it's a group of CEOs that meet monthly to discuss these moral, ethical, and spiritual dilemmas, where they're allowed to unpack and be vulnerable and transparent without this being burned. You know, it's a private group. And I've come to learn that, you know, these are very talented leaders, but oftentimes leaders fail for two reasons. Number one, they either, quote, shoot themselves in the foot, that they have either a character flaw or a blind spot that they're just either not addressing or just denying. Or the other thing is that they're not that they're doing anything wrong. It's just that they do have this lack of awareness to the environment around them. And when something hits, they're just ill-prepared. But either way, what is so important for leaders is that sense of awareness of, you know, not just awareness of others and the surroundings, but also a God awareness as it relates to, you know, where are you in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely have a sense of a conscience to understand when something is not going right and when it is going right. You just need to be more in tune as a leader.
You're using the word God, of course, in the title of your book, and yourself witnessing and carrying forth those principles sometimes can make people really, really uncomfortable or think they have to stray, that should be kept separate from business and the like. But I don't know about you. I certainly have seen over the last 10, 15 years more of a place for people to calmly set that out there, right there with their other values. And it's really powerful and compelling to show the fiber that the leader is made out of, as well as the work colleague or the subordinate. It isn't just reserved just to leaders. And I feel this is so important, just as you started us out with, in these times of tremendous uncertainty.
Right. And the difficulty is, and I totally understand this, there's a lot of baggage that goes with faith, and, you know, so people think, well, what does that mean? You're going to be up on a pedestal thumping a Bible, and, you know, and what I try to, you know, tell people is let who you are speak for what you believe. And what I found, which was is the real purpose of the original writing God as my CEO, is I saw that leaders could pray to God on Sunday, but Monday through Friday walked into an entirely different culture with an entirely different set of values. And so they, when you bring God into the equation, you then have this creative tension between these two core values from, you know, and I'll use myself as an example, because I came up and grew up in the business world. And so you go where culture is, where you go from achieving results to serving a purpose, or going from what can I get to how can I give, or success is dollars versus significance or in people, or just leadership being first, I'm number one, where leadership is being last and being a servant leader. Mm-hmm. So you have this creative tension, but when you recognize it, and then when you at least employ some of the principles, the spiritual principles, they're actually good for business.
Oh, absolutely. You bet. It's not like, you know, how many days there were when people would say, well, Zara, we can't get quality to improve, cost to be reduced, and speed to the market. And you say,
right.
No, those things aren't competing factors. They're powerful intertwining factors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you say, you know, at this point, your mission and as much exposure as your first edition has gotten, of course, is, you know, how do I trip the trigger nows of the millennials and the Gen Ys?
Right.
The book's been out since May. Have you had some special events or interchanges with that next generation as to how they're resonating with this material vis-a-vis perhaps those of us on the other end of the experience spectrum?
That's right. This is
us, those of us that have silver highlights, I call it. Not gray, it's silver highlights.
You know, I think what's funny is that one of the things, it's kind of strange when you write a book, you have to be careful because you have to, well, first of all, I write about what I struggle with. And the other thing is that if I've written it, I feel if I say something, I need to walk that talk.
You betcha.
So one of the things that I share is that sometimes the very thing that we're afraid of or avoiding, if we embrace it or at least be there, our significance is there.
Because, by the way, it's going to show up anyway, so.
Right. And so approaching emerging leader emerging leaders for me was a little intimidating, mm-hmm. as I'm now on the other side of 60, and I'm approaching these younger leaders. And so to answer your question, I just, my first start with this is that several months ago, I just did a focus group of, mm-hmm. of emerging leaders. And it was absolutely fascinating to meet with this group, and I'm ready to start what's called an emerging leader roundtable with the intention of actually marrying the two senior leaders,
sure.
the baby boomer generation, with the next generation leaders, because I think both can bring things to the table, so to speak. But what I found is that which was on a very positive side, a real willingness and a desire to learn and grow, and to actually learn and grow from senior leaders, in terms of, you know, where have they been and how they can be a mentor to this next generation leader. So I've been encouraged. It's been very good.
Well, the other side that I see as well is some of these topics you touch on leadership landmines and being aware and having purpose, peace, perspective, priority. I love those four that you offer in your book to the reader. But some of the younger leaders look at you like, yeah, I get it. What's the big deal? Meaning that they already have a lot of that. If you look at the commitment many of the young emerging leaders I've worked with who also set aside time, resources, maybe not as much money yet, to be involved in the community or to give back. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we had a young lady, just recent college graduate. She's got two jobs in New York City, but she's linked up with a grassroots film company, and they're headed down to her country of Colombia on a pursuit to reveal more stories around orphans.
Right.
And does she have the funding to do it? No. Is that stopping her? Absolutely not. She's kicking off a Kickstarter campaign with her peers, then leaving a couple weeks. And anyone else would say, well, wait a minute. You just spent 4 years in a phenomenal undergraduate institution. You've got a full-time job doing X. What's with this? And she kind of looks at you like, well, what do you mean? This is who I am or who I want to become more.
Right. Very encouraging. I think that is one very positive sign of that next generation leader, is that sense of service and at this younger age, where I think that that baby boomer generation did not have. So I think that that's a very encouraging thing.
And I'm going to stick up for us baby boomers. It wasn't that we weren't community driven or so on, but we had a different wiring, a different ethic, the work ethic. The timing was such that we had our heads down following the traditionalists and plowing forward.
Absolutely.
You know, and yes, okay, we've had an economic, you know, upheaval like you spoke of right here. So you know what? As long as the cards have been thrown up in the air, I think this younger generation is saying, okay, fine, I'm going to go play them a different way.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're speaking with Larry Julian, and you can learn more about Larry's work at Larry. It's JULIAN.com. The specific book we're speaking of is God is My CEO, Following God's Principles in a Bottom Line World. So we're going to place a call to God right now. And Larry, jokingly.
I love it.
I've been dying to tell you. He's been talking to me. I haven't been so good on listening. I think that's the deal. He's already said, I'm already on the line, kid. You're not listening.
There's
those whispers, right? But tell me some of the principles he would talk to us about first and foremost.
Sure. Well, you know, there are many principles, but I would say that, again, in terms of serving a purpose, mm-hmm. is one. And I think that if I was reading on your website about the unique giftedness and
yes.
helping, you know, a principle is to, you know, let who you are speak for what you believe and getting in touch with what gifts God has given you. And that intersection of what you love doing with what you're doing well, and to pursue that as far as that particular purpose. But I would say that in terms of if there were beyond some principles, I would say that there are certain character issues that when I interviewed in the second book, there are four character issues that really welled up from mm-hmm. interviews with these new leaders for the second edition. And I found them to be very interesting. It was one was love,
yes, yeah.
and incorporating the attribute of what love is. And the other one was actually courage, the ability to, you know, just having faith is a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm,
it's
yeah.
a risk.
Yeah.
And the ability to have the courage to risk and, you know, being transparent and even perhaps even being vulnerable. So I think that there's that. I think the other piece to that is that the concept of being faithful.
Faithful,
that
yes.
One of the things that I found is how there's a stick-to-itiveness or mm-hmm. a perseverance or a persistence of being in the game when things are not going right.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I think is the most important, at least the way that I found it, is the concept of humility.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the mm-hmm. one thing that I've admired the most is this sense of humility or openness or recognition that they're not God.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's that part of that is an openness to change, to grow, to be flexible, to listen to others, and really to, you know, if you would defer, the handle power correctly. I love the concept of humility as really more of power under control.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you use your power? And I think deferring to God allows leaders, which have great responsibility, to use that power in a significant way.
And what's really back to that creative tension you talked about, Larry, is how many leadership books are there, special programs, workshops, MBA mantras, executive coaching, that want to present this picture, or at least they have historically, that you as the top leader, you the CEO, have got to be everything to everybody.
Right.
You're the epicenter of the world and so on. And then in steps a body of us leaders, myself was included, and it's like, you know I could do all that high-level math. I love math. But you say the word budgets, I want to run for the hills.
Right.
So I would delightfully delegate that to all my CFOs or finance managers. They got all the visibility. They got all the reward and recognition. But they also often got promoted right out from underneath me. But that's fine, because I'll know I'll attract another good one. But I had some of my peers confront me and say, what are you doing? You're making us look bad. Or another boss saying, so you don't really know the finances, do you? And my comment response was, A, by having that, delegating that power, entrusting it with others, number one, they grew, they contributed, and oh, by the way, I was wiping my brow saying, thank goodness, because
That's
I'd
right.
really spend all my time over on X.
That's right.
Right? But I think our leadership psyche over the years, although I blessed my lucky stars with a book like yours to make it okay for people to say, I'm not the end-all, be-all, I'm not the God.
Right.
But I want to be God-like in terms of that humility factor is spot on.
Right. Yeah. It's important. Very important.
So that's how I can explain it to my secretaries all over the years who used to say, you're going to miss another budget meeting. I'm going to say, well, I'm adopting the God principles here. Well, I think the other one you said is that being faithful,
yeah.
you know, sticking to things, having the perseverance and stay in the game.
Right.
You know, frankly, folks, leadership is no picnic. It's no popularity contest. But for those of us that have enjoyed and thrived in that, although we might be viewed as being on the lunatic fringe of things, right?
Right.
That truly is our space. That's our blessing. That's our mission.
Yes. And that's right. And I think that's I admire those people that they do stay in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all face difficulties in life, and without sounding trite about the bitter or better, but you know, during those difficult times, some people can, you know, kind of explode out, hit on leadership landmines, burn out, or just, you know, run from something. But then there is a lot to be gained by just living in those adverse circumstances and being in that game and continuing in that process. I think there's great value in that.
You bet. We're speaking with Larry Julian again. His book is God is My CEO, Following God's Principles in a Bottom Line World. And I'll add, Why Working the Top Line Pressures. And it's Larry Julian, JULIAN.com. Larry, your passion for this subject, was there a defining moment that opened a whole new series of Got to Go Do This for you?
Oh, yes. That was definitely a defining moment. You know, my background is, really for the first 37 years of my life, the bottom line was my God, quite mm-hmm. frankly. I mean, I grew up and, it was all about just getting ahead, and it was really my mantra was me, myself, and I. That's just mm-hmm. the nature of how I went about my business. And then at 37, I hit this perfect storm of a combination of getting fired, going through a divorce, and dealing with severe back pain. Mm. And, and for me, you know, I became a follower of Jesus at that point, but I wasn't seeking Jesus or God. I was just seeking just a way out of the pain.
Right.
But for me, that was a defining moment because, it was one of those points of being at my wit's end. And, so I guess at that moment, there was clearly a conversion experience in my life where clearly God became my CEO. And so it was an interesting moment because at that point, it was always about trying to show, you know, I was Joe's sales executive,
sure.
his outward appearance. When really, you know, I was racked with fear and pain on the inside. And the only thing on that day, which actually coming up in June, it was many years ago, where it was the first time that I felt peace in my life.
Yeah,
and
true.
The circumstances didn't go away, but I felt this peace where nowhere else to go but up. But that's where, it was one of these very strange experiences because I was a consultant and consulting in business and dealing with constant contentious, you know,
right. So
strategic
there's no
planning,
place, no better
meetings.
Place, yeah, that you could
total
find that
draining.
That peace in that storm. Larry Julian, thank you so much for joining us again. LarryJulian.com, his book, God is My CEO. Thanks so much for sharing time with us today.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.